Hello and welcome to the...
I love dolphins!
Wait, was that a dolphin?
Wait a minute, hold on!
Wait, killer whales are dolphins?
Welcome to the Dolphin Pod.
Dolphin science?
Dolphin science!
Welcome to the podcast. This is a special 20th anniversary DCP edition podcast, and I am very pleased to welcome two very, very, very special and important guests, Kathleen Dudzinski and Kelly Melillo-Sweeting. As you probably know these names, they're super important within the upper echelon of the, what is that, the higher, no, the royalty. They are the royalty of DCP. Please say hello, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
I've never been called royalty before. Wow.
You're royalty. You're the queen, and Kelly's the co-queen. I'm not sure how it works technically.
Actually, in my family with the Beagles, Baloo is the princess, Dixie is the queen, and I'm the empress.
Oh,
wow. Nice.
Okay. See, it is a royal family. John has no role.
He's the jester.
Oh, no.
By his own admission.
Oh, no. And, of course, in studio we have today, as always, my favorite co-host, my only co-host, Laura Teasdale.
Thank you. It's so good to see you guys again.
Nice to meet you again.
Yes.
So for this episode, we really want to go, we want to talk to Kathleen and Kelly about the history of DCP and some of the cool stuff that they get up to. So it's an overview of how awesome DCP has been and currently is and will be in the future. So I have prepared a list of my own questions, stuff I'm most curious about. I thought it'd be fun for you guys to talk about. And Laura, you have your questions prepared as well, stuff about DCP.
Yes, I really worked hard on these questions. There are things that I always want to ask about dolphins, and so finally I took time to really make a good comprehensive list.
Grab those out of your bag, and we'll start here. Here's my list. Kathleen, please tell us how the Dolphin Communication Project got started.
Well, in a time when the internet was just starting, when I didn't actually think the internet would take hold, boy, was I wrong.
And is that honestly what happened? Honestly thought it was a fad?
Yeah, in graduate school in the mid-90s, there was a whole bunch of us that were like, email? Oh, email's not going to catch on. Internet? We didn't even call it the internet then. It was the World Wide Web or the webs, you know, whatever.
AOL.
I don't remember. Yeah.
All those disks would show up.
Yeah, and before even AOL. And actually... The way DCP came about was I had been a part of the Dolphins large format film from MacGillivray Freeman Films, and some of the guys there in the marketing and promo section of the film company from MacGillivray Freeman Films said, hey, you need a presence online, because when the film came out, I and another colleague, Alejandro Acevedo, and a few other scientists visited about 40 different science centers, museums, etc., to introduce the film and to answer questions about dolphins and our research. And they said, you know, you need to have a place where people can go get information about what you're doing. And I was like, oh, like I thought, you know, books, other materials. I'm like, no, on the website, and create a website. I was like, okay, sure. I have no idea how to do that. So there were a couple of folks who helped, and we started it out and came up with, you know, a Dolphin Communication Project. I don't even really remember the details, but it sounded good because we focus on dolphin communication, and you know, that was what we did. And actually got some support from some of the folks there to set DCP up as a nonprofit, because I chose not to really go the straight academic route. I wanted to, at that point in time, believe it or not, in the mid to late 90s, there wasn't this blend and this merger between university professors and the general public. So I had all of our research from even before DCP began, even into now, is co-sponsored by ecotourism. So anybody can come out and learn about what we're doing and help us with what we're doing. And now that's a broader impact statement, or that's a how do you make what you do in your university setting more impactful or more applicable to the general public? But that wasn't done 20, 30 years ago. And so we started with that, and that's, we had to find a way to get our information out. And it turned out that the internet, who knew, became really popular. So
essentially you were a movie star and your people decided that you needed to promote yourself more. So started a website, which accidentally became a massively important scientific research outreach organization.
by
dumb luck.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, you could put it that way. Yeah. It was, how can we share this information?
Huh.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's really cool.
Oh, Laura, do you have any, you've got your own questions. You ask yours and then I'll ask Kelly the next one.
Sure. I'll ask Kathleen then.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a second. Okay. Okay. What are the top three qualities you are looking for in a significant other? No. I brought the wrong paper.
What is that? What are you
talking? These are my conversation starters for my Tinder account.
Okay. Well,
let me see this.
What should I do? Just.
Just ask it. Okay. I don't know. Like, we don't have time to go back.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Kathleen, what are the top three qualities you're looking for?
I have a significant other. I don't know if, you know, so, but how about if I sort of share maybe a little known detail in order to answer that question, is I met my significant other on the first film shoot for that Dolphins large format film, the IMAX film.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I met him actually in the Miami airport. First laid eyes on him with everybody else in the Miami airport. Didn't think much of him until we actually got to Bimini.
Didn't think much of him.
No. I remember the first impression, but I was focused on, you know, getting our gear and moving everything out. And we were going from one baggage carousel to another airplane area to get over to Bimini, which is where we were going in 1997. Does that date me, putting that date out?
No, not at all. So what was he doing on the film?
John is cameraman and photographer, etc. And he actually was part of the film crew. He did a few shots in the film, but he also was one of the few people who could keep the IMAX cameras running. So, and at that point in time, this is, you know, more than 20 years ago, those cameras were huge. And it's not easy to put a huge camera underwater. That film crew is the only group that actually looked at our camera system, the MVA, and said, wow, that's small. Everybody else would look at it and go, holy crap, that's huge. And ours is about 20 pounds. There's the one they used in Bimini was about 300 pounds in its housing.
She's looking for a man that can lift heavy things.
Yeah.
That's very traditional.
Just quick question.
Yep.
Does Ron have a brother?
John?
Does John have a brother who might be single?
Are you looking for a man that can lift?
Yes. John does not have a brother, but he does have friends who are single. So I'll let you chat with him later on.
Okay, we're supposed to be doing dolphin science.
Sorry, dolphin science.
First of all, reading your Tinder questions. Second of all, trolling for date on a podcast. I'm just going to move things back to science. Kelly, how did you get involved with the Dolphin Communication Project? What is your deal?
I was always interested in marine mammal science, but didn't really know how one pursues that. And I would say in college, I started hearing all the voices of like, you'll get over that. You'll get a real job, yada, yada. And so I said, well, let me make the most of a summer internship in college. Let me test out dolphin or marine mammal something, get it out of my system, and then I can go get that quote unquote real job. And my teeny tiny school in Connecticut, Connecticut College, had an amazing funded internship program because I had to work in the summer, but they handed me a check and said, go do your dream internship. And I went, oh, well, I should probably find it then, huh? And at our career services office, at the same time I was looking for an internship, Kathleen was featured in the University of Connecticut Alumni Magazine. And my advisor said, you should write to this lady. And I went, I saw that lady in an IMAX movie when I was in high school. And so I went to the DCP website.
Oh, my Lord. This is all coming full circle, Kelly.
Yes. Yes. The website you didn't even believe in.
Oh, and it said on the DCP website, we do not need students for the field, interns in the field. And I wrote to this Dr. Dudzinski, and I said, I don't need to go to the field, but I could help. I can buy a plane ticket. I can pay my rent. What can I do? DCP was in California at the time. And she said, huh, you're in Connecticut? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, well, I'm moving to Connecticut like next month. You want to meet me at my mom and dad's house for a cup of tea? Yes, I do. So we sat in her parents' kitchen while her family was off doing Christmas shopping. And I got to meet some of the dogs. And turns out she was secretly looking for a student to send to Bimini. DCP already had an intern, Kat, and she was going to go to Bimini, but she needed a buddy system. And so I got to go, and I was getting ready to study abroad in Scotland that next semester. So I skipped the office part, which all interns are supposed to be in the office before they go in the field. And so, yeah, I would say things lined up pretty darn nicely. And it was supposed to be 9 weeks of my life. And then I was going to get that real job that all the grownups said I had to go find. And instead I thought, oh, this is really interesting. Maybe I should get a master's. Could I keep coming back to Bimini with DCP? And thankfully DCP said yes. And then that was three more summers. And then I said, oh, how about if I just live in Bimini all year round and help run DCP in Bimini? And so that was 17 years ago.
Yep.
Wow.
This summer, if COVID hadn't squashed it, would have been, or was, I got out on the boat four times, my 18th consecutive research season in Bimini and DCP's 20th. So
that's intense.
That's incredible.
My research in Bimini is a legal adult.
It can drink in some countries. So to recap, have a delusional dream that everyone tells you is foolish to pursue. Pursue it anyway. Randomly contact movie stars who really shouldn't ever want to get in touch with you. Stalk them. And everything will work out. I think that's a lesson for success for everyone.
I think so.
Yeah. In a warped kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Laura.
Kelly, I just had a question. What's the strangest place you've ever made out?
What? No.
Made out with a really good deal at a shop. Because I had a good coupon.
Is that what you meant, Laura?
I think maybe Kohl's, the department store. I was helping my mom shop last year and had some Kohl's cash, had some coupons, and really made out with a
made out like a bandit at Kohl's.
So the answer is Kohl's. Is the weirdest place she's
ever
been. That's
the weirdest place. That's awesome.
Great. Thanks for that, Laura. That's
just nerdy enough.
We should get advertising from,
Kohl's. Yes. Oh, was I allowed to say at a random department store that shan't be named?
Specificity, sole narrative. It's fine. Put it in there. We just we're helping with sales. Okay. So this is to the two of you, perhaps. This is an actual question. What is unique or cool about DCP's research?
We might fail the whole time, the rest of the
Yeah, keep it to about, a minute or two if you can.
Sure, sound bite. For me, well, there's two ways to look at this for DCP's research. For me, I cannot imagine doing anything else. In my day is varied, so, I don't actually get a chance to watch video and analyze data all day, every day, nor do I actually get to swim with the dolphins or observe the dolphins and collect data every day. But every day that has the research aspect to it, it allows my brain to wander a little bit to think, what does all this mean for dolphins? And so our method allows us to parse out some of their behaviors and their, and who they're doing it with and what they're doing and et cetera, to get an idea of what do these signals mean to dolphins and how does that all come back around and how do dolphins share information that's similar to other social animals, whether they be terrestrial animals like humans or chimps or avian like ravens. There's a lot of similarity across the board out there. I think there's more similarity among social animals than differences. And those differences might just be where they're found, based on where they're found. I don't know how you feel, Cal.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that. And I think that I really like having found a space, an organization, a life's work that I didn't have to choose between the nerdy science bubble and just doing the research and staying within the scientific method and publishing peer-reviewed articles and going to conferences and talking only to other scientists and staying there, or only being a teacher, an educator of some kind. I can't think of another space where I could kind of equally be those two roles. DCP gets publications out, we collaborate and communicate with other scientists, and we also get all of that into what I think are really accessible education programs for people who may go on to a scientific or academic career, but who may just, you know, become a real estate agent and know more about dolphins and the ocean while they're in that other niche. So that's what I really like about DCP.
Awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Laura, do you have a follow-up?
I do. For both of you, okay. If you could go back in time as an observer and no one could see you, and but you couldn't interact with anything, when would you go back to? What historical event?
Oh. So I could be like a fly on the wall at any other point in history?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I would like to be a fly on the Beagle, on the HMS Ooh. Beagle. I'd like to go with Darwin, or, you know, the crew, et cetera, and experience what they experience as they experience it.
That would
just
be
to
really
see some of that. That would be pretty cool.
That's a good science.
That's a good one.
Answer.
Yeah.
Would you have eaten the turtles? Didn't they eat everything that they
encountered? I don't know that I would have eaten the turtles, I think.
I think if you were literally a fly, you would have been eating a lot.
I might have only had 24 hours to live, but I would have enjoyed that bit of time there.
Cool. Good answer, though. Good answer.
Yeah.
Kelly, can you beat that?
I don't think I could beat it, but I know I'm influenced by it because I didn't have something like kind of right at the cuff there, but I might go to the moon if we're sticking with the explorer.
Yeah.
Where, like, I don't know, would the fly survive on one of the, like, the...
We'd have a tiny little spacesuit.
Little helmet.
Yeah. And
we have the technology.
Some of those other spacecraft, like the Cassini spacecraft and things that went farther. I don't know, something. Because in real life, I don't want to go to outer space. There's enough right here in the ocean, I think, that like the ocean is my outer space that we don't know about, that we have yet to explore. We are completely inept at being in the sea, really. So that's enough for me in real life. So, yeah, I think I'd go to outer space.
Those are both really cool.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Yep. No winner there. Equally as good.
I hope some man on Tinder gives me an answer half as good as that, but now you've kind of...
If you had to choose, Laura, between dating Kathleen or Kelly based on those two answers, which would you choose?
Oh my goodness. Are you kidding? That would be impossible.
I think she'd have to bounce between us, right?
Yeah, I'd be totally fine with that.
You're
going to
double date. Fine. Yeah. I don't know how Tinder works. Look, so here's a science question. So how are students, other than Kelly and her very unique path to DCP.
By unique path, you mean DCP couldn't get rid of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I wouldn't leave.
Yeah, stalked you from the beginning and kept stalking you for 18 years.
I don't know. That didn't feel like stalking.
It never does. That's how they get in. Okay. Like, they shoot. Anyway, how are students involved these days? Of all kinds of ages, like grad students all the way down to like elementary school. Like, how do they do DCP stuff?
We have a variety of programs, and I think students in this day and age find us through the internet, maybe, or through coming back, circling around to, you know, the internet that I thought wouldn't survive. Kind of dates me, figures that out. Or they talk to their friends, et cetera, and they hear about us. Now with social media, can you imagine somebody who didn't think the internet would survive? And now we have all these different forms of social media for people to find us through. Thank goodness for you guys, because otherwise DCP wouldn't have a social media footprint.
We maybe. Even have a social media intern
yes.
now to help that's, us with social right. media.
That's yep. their little, that's what they do. That's the only thing they do. Mm-hmm. They just,
yep.
that's crazy.
And we have a variety of professors that work with us as well. So that's how we find college level students is through their professors or through our website or through a variety of other online avenues. We've had younger students find us through the schools that we work with. When we were based in Connecticut, we had several schools that we worked with. Since everything's more online from what we're doing in Florida, we don't have local schools with whom we work with yet. But we do have through online programming, as Kel and I have both seen, we've had schools participate in our webinars and join us. You know, teachers have identified students and their programs that can join our dolphin lessons. We just had Draw a Dolphin, which I can, here, I'll show you guys my, I'm sorry I can't show the people on the podcast, but this was my dolphin. And oh, Kel's is much better than mine. Mine looks kind of like a sausage.
Well, first of all, not too shabby. I have to say, Kathleen Dudzinski, I'm a little sad that after all these decades of staring at dolphins, that your dolphin looks like it has, I'm not really sure, toddler legs at the bottom part?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's pathetic. And that's why I don't draw dolphins. Sausage. I observe yeah. them.
Photograph them.
On
I get
video
it. I get
and
it.
Photograph them. Yes.
Now we all know why.
Yes.
So, great, Laura. Do you have a follow up? A relevant follow up?
Well,
any follow up.
Define relevant.
Yes. Well, you know, I just had this one. Like, if you know how sometimes we have, like, we give each other romantic pet names and stuff. If you could give yourself a pet name or a nickname.
Or nickname.
What nickname would you like to have people start calling you?
How about if we shared nicknames that were given to us that
oh.
we didn't really expect nor
tier for?
Nor really okay. wanted to promote, so I hesitate in... In
this
saying
could be your new nickname. Yes, so be
apparently
careful.
You're going to go first, Kathleen.
Yes, please go ahead.
Well, it's not something that I gave to myself, and I don't know if I have an example I can show you. I will have to look when Kel gives her nickname. A story was included on me around the time that the Dolphins film came out in the magazine Women Outside. Mm-hmm. And the title of that article was Dorsal Diva.
Dorsal Diva.
Ooh.
Dorsal Diva.
Diva. Mm.
Wow. I didn't quite see it, but I understood the alliteration. I
Linguistically, it checks out. But yeah.
I'd be okay bad. If that didn't like
catch on.
Yeah. So now yeah. you shared it with all of our listeners.
I did, but it was yes. it's out there. It was in the it's ether before I.
Yes.
And I figure, you know, if I embrace it and identify it, maybe it'll go away.
Kelly, what's the name of our social media intern again?
Amy Lynn.
Amy Lynn, could you please hashtag dorsal diva from now on for everything involving caffeine?
I love it.
And okay. I do know what that means.
You, Kelly?
The pound sign?
Yeah.
Kelly, what about you? One you had or would like to have?
Well, I guess I will follow suit with the one that I had. And I did embrace it. And I do have a few friends who still occasionally bring it out. But there was a period of time where I was perhaps not eating the best choices of food. And so I was a bit soft around the middle, if you will. And some British friends used a term I had never heard before.
Oh.
And I didn't know what it meant. And then they told me and I didn't believe them. And then I looked it up and they were right. And everyone thought it was hilarious. So there's like 6 or 7 people in my life who call me Squidgy. and then we shorten it, and then sometimes I'm just Squidge, and it's hey Squidge.
So that could be hashtag Squidgy.
Squidgy dolphin.
That's amazing. I do not associate that word with you.
Me either.
Fascinating.
Yes.
What about you, Justin?
Do you have one, Justin?
Yeah.
Well, when I was in high school, I had a nickname, and it was literally the only name that anyone called me, including my parents and teachers. And I'm assuming it was ironic because of my muscular physique, and they called me Stick. It was literally the only... I think some people didn't know my real name.
Really? Really?
Yeah. They just called me Stick.
And didn't some people call you Girlface, too?
Oh, when I was in elementary school, Girlface. Because I... Again, I have a muscular, masculine face, so it was ironic. You know, elementary school kids are all about ironic nicknames.
Yes. Well, I was also Kelly Smelly, the garbage girl, so, you know.
That's too general to be
insulting.
That's so
creative.
Yes. Yeah. The garbage girl, again, because of what you were eating.
Yeah. No, that was just the smelly part. That was years before.
Again, because of
unhealthy years.
Let's see. Recent research. Let's just have a quick overview of a couple things recently that you've been working on that I think people might be interested in. The both of you, can you talk about the stuff you've been doing on maternal styles in dolphins or relationship quality analyses? Ooh, that sounds boring when I say those words. Let's make it less boring. Go.
Okay. When you're referring to the maternal styles, is basically, are all dolphin moms the same in how they interact with, play with, maybe discipline their kids, their calves, or are they different? Do they each have their own particular style? And I don't know if Laura is a mom. I am only a mom to beagles, but I know Kel is a mom to humans as well as possibly furry critters. And Justin is a dad, not a mom. But I would imagine that how I am a mom to my beagles is different to how Kel is a mom to her offspring, as well as to your wife. And everyone has a unique way. You may all do the same type of behaviors with your kids, but you have a slightly different style in doing that. And that's what we're seeing. We were looking specifically at how dolphins use their flippers or their pectoral fins to share contact with their calves. And this, the looking at pectoral fin contact, this is the last two studies or last two papers that we're putting out after 16, 17 years of looking at how dolphins use their pec fin to touch each other and make contact with each other. And we do see that moms are different in how they share. Some moms are very protective. Some moms are, go out, do what you want, come back when you want. So a little more, you know, forgiving, I guess you will. I don't know if that's the right word. But
longer leash, if you will.
Yep, yep, mm-hmm. yep. And but generally what we're finding too is that moms and calves, you know, we looked both at moms who initiated and then calves who they're, you know, initiated contact back. Really don't use their pec fins to touch each other. They have all other kinds of contact, but 9%, like maybe 400 out of 4,000 peck fin contacts were by moms to their kids, and the rest were all like non-kin. So
how would they contact them? Like body rubs and things?
Yeah, body to body contact, and so like if they're rubbing their belly to the back, or maybe rubbing their fluke on somebody else, their tail, or, you know, rubbing their dorsal fin on somebody. And we do see a lot of body to body contact depending on the different dolphins that we're looking at. But also I think how they swim next to each other, for especially for kin and for moms and their calves, is more than just energy saving. So there are some colleagues out there that have looked at when a dolphin calf swims either in echelon, which is sort of up by the dorsal fin of the mom, or a dolphin calf swims in what's called infant position, which is down by just sort of back from the belly of the mom. There's been research that's done that says, hey, when the calf swims in those places, it saves energy. It's kind of in the mom's slipstream, if you will. It's kind of like if you're on a skateboard and you're following a car, you'll get pulled along a little bit. Don't do that. It's not, you know, safe.
Not planning. No.
But it's a way for you to draft, I guess, is maybe the way to say it, on an individual that's bigger and that's moving through the water. And so if you think about it, a dolphin calf is, you know, half the size, if not less, of an adult. And it can't swim as fast. It would have to really beat its tail fast to keep up with an adult who might just be gliding through the water. And so that placement is energetically good for the calf. But what we're seeing is we're looking at more of these positions and where they move and who initiates and how they are there, whether there's contact or not, seems to be important for the different relationships that we're looking at. So it's not just about, and that this gets more into the relationship quality, is that we're looking at not just how much time two individuals spend in the same group, but actually how are they interacting with one another? What types of contact are they using, body to body or pec fin? And then also, how are they swimming with one another? What's their postures? Are they doing pair swims or parallel or infant position or stacked positions? And then also looking at object play. And we're looking at object play because though there's been a couple of recent reports of dolphins maybe sharing food, we don't really see it that much. And if we want to look at relationship quality as a comparison to other animal species like chimps or ravens, as we talked about, one of the ways that scientists have looked at the value in that relationship between those other animals is how do they share food? Well, we need sort of a proxy for food sharing, and we use object play because it could be an indication of value in a relationship between two individuals. Because you know what? If dolphins are going to share objects and play with them together, that has to be some sort of value to the two individuals involved.
So just to be honest, oh, that's really here, I had some M&Ms before the podcast started, and I wanted to eat them before Laura arrived so that she didn't get any.
I thought I smelled M&Ms.
Yeah. Yeah. I smell wicked bad of M&Ms. But, and does that mean the quality of my relationship with Laura is lower than, for example, people that I would want to share M&Ms with?
It is now.
Okay. I should have mentioned it.
But you ensured that.
So. If you don't tell Laura that you had M&Ms,
okay,
that might be the distinction. Yeah.
Yeah. So screwed that one up. Laura, do you have any relevant dating?
Actually, this one is kind of good. Actually, if there was an Olympics for an everyday activity, just every day, what activity would you have a good chance of winning a medal in? Yeah, Kelly?
I am all over this. Loading the dishwasher.
Really?
Nice.
What?
I can rock a dishwasher, like maximize the contents, but not overfull, so the soap doesn't reach, and then the next morning there's still goo on your dishes. I can really, because I'm assuming I'd be judged on both. Both the
naturally.
The most dishes in, but yeah. also the most dishes coming out clean. Yeah.
Because it's not just the Tetris of the thing.
No.
Yeah. It's the actual efficacy. Yeah.
Yes. I do that every single day. So
do you pre-wash?
No. Scrape into the bin.
Okay.
I do soak the oatmeal bowls from the morning because I run the dishwasher at night and oatmeal by the evening. No, I don't. Yeah. My dishwasher can't handle that. But otherwise, no rinsing, just scraping.
Mm-hmm. I do soak the oatmeal bowls. That sounds like
the oatmeal bowls.
That sounds like a phrase. That's a
Zydeco
that means something.
Something.
Yeah, it's a Zydeco song. Yeah. That's okay. Well, that's an interesting, useless, but you actually no.
No,
useful.
That's very useful.
For, like, water you're concerned.
If a guy on Tinder told me he was good at that, I would put a check mark like right beside his name.
Honestly, that's what you're looking for. Dishwasher loading.
What about you, Kathleen? What's your superpower?
I am exceptional at walking two beagles by myself.
Simultaneously.
Either on their short, you know, quick yard potty walk leash, which is, you know, a 1 meter, 3 foot long leash with just a collar, or both of them in their harnesses, jog, you know, and having those extended leashes that, you know, you can, they, because anyone who has beagles, I'm not sure if this applies to other dogs, anyone who has beagles know that what they do is zigzag around each other because they follow their noses. They just, that's all that it's about. So, and juggling them when they see another dog that they have to bark at because they tag team each other when they do it. So
your superpower name would be like the beagle jockey.
Beagle jockey.
We're just keeping coming back to the beagle with you today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot of beagles.
Yeah.
A lot of beagles.
What about you, Justin?
I don't think I do anything particularly well, but if I had to guess, I would say zeroing my inbox.
Oh, yeah, you're like, good at that.
Because, like, I cannot stand when there's a list of things to do, so I will do them as quickly as possible because, not because I'm efficient, but because I'm lazy and I want more free time. And so reducing my inbox to zero makes me feel like I deserve that coffee. So that's why I'm so efficient. Not because I'm trying to be helpful.
Knowing that just wants me to periodically send you emails.
You know how easy it is to zero an inbox? Delete, 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 delete. Kathleen, delete, delete, delete.
He's not saying he actually does what the email
that's
is requesting.
True. He just empties them.
It's our
efficiently.
Yeah, exactly.
Laura, do you answer your own question here?
Oh my goodness. Jeez.
There's a guy out there waiting for this answer.
Oh my. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, on a really basic level, I think I can sing harmony to pretty much like anything. Ooh. Like a dishwasher or
like a dishwasher?
Like I could probably figure out a harmony for pretty much anything.
All right.
And that's an actual skill.
I'm going to give you a dishwasher sound. You sing harmony, ready?
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good. That's good. Well done.
Well done. Yeah, you don't want me to sing.
Can you harmonize to Kathleen?
No.
That seems like a no.
The only thing worse than my drawing is my singing.
Oh, no.
Same here. Yeah.
Wow.
Do dolphins sing?
They don't sing like baleen whales, like humpback whales and things, but they make a lot of sounds. Whistles and squeaks and squawks and chirps and
clicks,
buzzes, clicks. Yeah.
And are any of them sustained? Like, are they all kind of just more like talking?
Like big long
long notes or no?
There might be whistles that might be a couple seconds long, but it's a continual whistling. But I don't know that they can
go in kind of bouts of repetition of having a sequence of sounds, but it's not like one singular sound that they
can drag out.
And even that, though, I don't know how it varies by species or even geography. Like here in Boone, the spotted dolphins are actually quite quiet. And whether or not that has to do with the good water clarity here, we can have 20 minutes of observing spotted dolphins and not a single sound in the human hearing range. And then we can have other days where a couple years ago, a dolphin we call Sarah, ID number 38, she just repeated this whistle. Repeated. And to the point where I sort of mentally stopped and said, okay, pay attention. Like, is anything wrong? Are we doing anything weird? This is very uncharacteristic, but everything else seemed fine. So she just chatty to herself or her calf or us, or I don't know what she was doing, but all the humans got on the boat and like four or five of us, it was stuck in our head. We were like having a song stuck in your head. So in that way, it was like a song, but it was just whistle.
Cool. That's really cool. Thanks.
Well, we could go on forever, but we should wrap it up before the end of time. So I'm going to have one final question for you guys, and then Laura will cap it off with the one question she's hoping to ask her new boyfriend that will reveal marriage quality. And then you have to answer that. So, but first, is there a question that you wish people would ask you about dolphins or DCP that they never
do? That's an excellent question.
Like a thing you'd love to talk about, but nobody seems to care, but it's so cool to you.
I think mine, I see Kathleen is thinking, so people sometimes ask this, or they ask a close enough question that I work in this answer as often as I can. I just think it's really cool the areas of the world where people can study the same wild individuals repeatedly year after year. And when you have these long-lived animals, so this isn't exclusive to dolphins, but there are dolphins that I have seen every single year for 18 years. DCP has seen for 20 years. Splitjaw, we have seen him every single year since 2001. And I just think that's cool. And though, like, I can objectively, I can put on my science hat and be nerdy and think about that sight fidelity and all of that stuff. And then I can take off my science hat and just think, he's kind of like, it may not be a mutual friendship. Maybe he doesn't know that I think it's so cool. But to watch him from a calf to a juvenile to an adult and see him year after year is just, I think, really cool.
And he might be thinking about you the same way.
He might.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I've received a lot of questions over the years. And there are times when I receive the same questions over and over. And I've had people say, doesn't it get old receiving the same questions? Because when you work with ecotours and you have different groups, just by virtue of different groups, they're going to ask the same questions. But I like the questions. In science, we ask questions and we seek answers to those questions. And the answers are cool. Don't get me wrong. I like having the answers. But more, the answers let me refine the questions so that we're asking questions slightly differently. And there are times when I've had people on my various ecotours or my trips, whether they be students or adults, they'll ask the same question that I've heard, years, but slightly differently. And so you go, I hadn't thought of, looking at that dolphin behavior that way. And that's pretty cool, because it's like an arms race where you have the questions and then you get the answers, but then the answers let you develop new questions that are either somewhat the same or somewhat different. And so that's what drives, for me, understanding an animal that I can't just sit down and have a conversation with, to say, now, what do you really think of this? Or what are you doing when you stick your rostrum into the sand? What actually are you doing? Are you looking for fish to eat? Are you scratching the itch at the tip of it? Or are you doing something else? Because I have ideas, but in order to make those ideas more set so that we can actually start talking about them as possible functions, we need to collect lots and lots of data. and, you know, as scientists run the stats and do all the other stuff. But it's pretty cool to see it just from the question and the answer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I answered your question, Laura, but.
I think so.
Yeah. That one was Justin's question.
Yeah.
Oh,
but what about you, Justin?
Oh my gosh, I'm getting you confused.
Oh,
well, we look so alike.
What the dolphin question. Well, my favorite dolphin subject is all the like language thing, and dolphins have a language, and what's the difference between language and communication? And I wish people would be focused on not like, do dolphins have a language, but how is it that dolphins can do so many complicated things without a language? Mm. So, like, what good is language, really? Does it matter that humans have it? Like, how helpful is it for us? People are so focused on, like, it's intelligence writ large, but also language, and it seems important and necessary and useful, but, like, no one seems to ask, like, is it?
Mm-hmm. Like, it certainly doesn't seem to help us humans have fewer conflicts.
No, it maybe makes them worse.
Worse? Yeah.
But it does help us with this podcast.
Yes,
and indeed.
And in comparison to that, I have somebody who's communicating to me right there.
Oh,
with a little bit of whininess and slamming her paw against the door. And
oh, I was going to say John, but not John.
No, no. No. That's her wax on, wax off movement, where she takes her paw and rubs it against the door. So
yeah.
I'm effectively ignoring.
Well done. Good training. Laura, do you have a question to round all this out?
I actually found the perfect one on my list of Tinder icebreaker questions. If you could date any dolphin that you know.
That is not on your list.
It's on my list. I'm interested in dolphins, and I won't date anybody who can't answer this question.
Okay, keep going. Sorry.
If you could date any dolphin, what dolphin would you date?
Can we put a disclaimer to all of our listeners that can I rephrase? If we became a dolphin,
oh yes, absolutely,
and then dated a dolphin, because we do not in any way, shape, or form condone human dolphin
dating
relationships.
No, I completely agree.
That seems to be like you shouldn't have to say that, but you never know.
Yes. It's
good to put it out there.
Just put it out there.
So if you were a dolphin.
If you were a dolphin.
Yeah.
Which dolphin would you date?
Like, it could be a specific dolphin.
Jaw.
Yeah, like split jaw.
Like, you had a lot going on for split jaw just now.
I do enjoy split jaw. is a fun guy. maybe it wouldn't even be a Bimini spotted dolphin. I would want to turn into an orca and and date another orca. I don't know.
Mm. Wow.
What about you, Kathleen?
I might try to find a dusky dolphin. They're pretty acrobatic.
Mm. Please, I so hope someone answers that on Tinder.
Yeah, if some guy says, like, I've been a dusky dolphin, you'd be like, oh, yes, yes, soulmates.
Yes.
Or a spinner.
A spinner, I'm going to say.
A spinner.
So active. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you're into John because he could lift heavy cameras. You're into these, like, very masculine, like, sort of acrobatic animals.
Yes.
I don't know. We have good conversations, too.
Yes.
Okay, that helps.
So I guess that, like, for me, that's all. Like, sorry, I didn't bring my other my other list of questions. But you know what? I found I got a lot out of this.
I feel like those are great questions.
Yeah, I do have one last question. John's brother, Ron, I think it is. What's his phone number?
There is no.
There's no brother.
This is not a dating podcast. This is a science podcast. Well, anyway, thank you guys for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your days to be here for this. And
thank you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Can I just say happy 20th anniversary, DCP?
To DCP.
Happy 20th.
Happy 20th. You guys are awesome.
And thank you to all of the people who supported us the last 20 years and who will in the next 20 years.
The Dolphin Pod is a science podcast covering all aspects of dolphin science, from news stories to new research, interviews with dolphin experts, and fun and crazy dolphin facts. It's brought to you by the Dolphin Communication Project, a nonprofit research and education organization whose mission is to promote the scientific study of dolphins and inspire their conservation. Learn more by visiting dolphincommunicationproject.org.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Please get in touch with the Dolphin Communication Project through Twitter or our Facebook page. If you've got questions or ideas for a future episode, let us know.